And here we are gathered again to worship the Lord, to listen to the Word of God, to open our hearts. I'm so glad that you're here because being here means a couple things. It means that you're seeking God in your life. And it means also that you want to learn the ways of the Lord, that you want to learn what it means to be a Christ follower, to love the Lord in your life, to understand what His Word has to say about life. And that's a good thing. So thanks for being here. It's awesome. We've been in a series in 1 Corinthians, and it's been a great study. We're learning about what it means to follow Christ while living in a fallen culture, and we've gotten to the nuts and bolts of it. We've gotten to some practical issues, and we're talking about morality. We're talking about ethics. We're talking about our thinking and our choices and our behavior. We're talking about, you know, the area of our sexuality and how the Lordship of Christ impacts even that area of our life. And so today we're going to be talking about some things that have to do with our sexuality. But, you know, there's an image that pretty much sums up much of what I want to say today. So if you'll just look at this image, this pretty much says a lot of it. The Bible says everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but I will not be mastered by anything. The Bible says, glorify God with your body. This young man is not glorifying God with his body in this scene. And pretty much everybody knows it. All of his friends are aware of this. And so let's get that shot of the friends looking on. There they are. Poor guy. Everybody can see what's going on. And it's a sad moment in his life. Thanks for that image. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12 through 14. Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food is for the stomach, and the stomach is for food. But God will destroy them both. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By His power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and He will raise us up also. What we learn about as we study Corinthians is the twisted values of the culture of Corinth. Everything that we study in this book has that as a background. The Christian church there was being established in a cultural setting that was very much apart from God. And their values were distorted, and the church was trying to grow up there, and it was a difficult thing to establish a church in that culture. And what does it mean to follow Christ when you're living in that kind of a culture? By learning about the thinking patterns of the Corinthians and how the Lord is trying to correct the Christians in their thinking within that culture, we learn about God's values for our own life. Some of the mistakes that the Corinthians made, one of them is this. The Corinthians wanted sex without boundaries. But the truth is that we can never experience true freedom or fulfillment in our lives without boundaries. And that's really the first thing that we learn in our passage today. The Corinthians were into freedom. Now, this phrase, you may notice it's in quotations in verse 12. It says, everything is permissible for me. And it says, but not everything is beneficial. Again, it says, everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. That phrase, everything is permissible, is in quotations because that was a common expression in the city of Corinth. It was their slogan. It was their value. It was the way they approached life. They were into freedom. They were into personal choice. They believed that they were free to do anything that they wanted, and that's the way that life worked best. And so they had a philosophy. They said, food is for the stomach, and the stomach is for food. You notice that's in quotes, too. As we read through this passage, it's kind of important for interpretation to see the parts where it's the sayings of the Corinthians and then how Paul is answering those sayings or those philosophies. So they would say, well, everything is permissible for me. And he'd say, well, not everything's beneficial. Well, everything is permissible for me. Yeah, but I won't be mastered by anything. Well, food is for the stomach, and the stomach is for food. God will destroy them both. The philosophy at Corinth was this. You've been given a physical body. Your physical body has all kinds of pleasurable sensations that it can experience. The body is created to enjoy food, so go feast. It's as simple as that. And by implication, the body is designed for sexual pleasure, so go indulge in sexual pleasure without any boundaries or any restraint. But there is no true freedom or fulfillment in our lives without boundaries. And that is the biblical view. Every human pleasure is designed in the wisdom of God. That's the biblical view. Sex is good. Everybody knows that. And it is designed by God to be good and pleasurable, and there's a purpose and there's a design for it. And so the Scripture wants to remind us of this. In fact, it tells us in an important phrase. It says here in verse 13, the body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. The Lord is for the body. The Lord is not against the body. The Lord doesn't come and say, you know, as a Christian, you need to just live in your spirit and live in your heart and just deny your physical body. The physical body is bad. Physical pleasure is bad. It doesn't say that. The Bible says that the Lord is for the body. God designed the physical body. And it's amazing. On Thanksgiving, I was so thankful for the sense of smell and taste. It was awesome. Got up in the morning, and we have this tradition at our house of the cinnamon rolls. And Maureen does these cinnamon rolls, and they're just amazing. I mean, they're so amazing that we start to get nervous that she's going to tweak the recipe and change it. Because Maureen likes to change recipes. It's like she finds the perfect recipe, and because Maureen likes change, and so she's like, well, I could just do this, and it might be a little better. And the whole family's like, don't change it. Don't change that recipe. It's so good. We love everything about it. So in the morning, I got up, and my job, my assignment was to cut up this fruit salad, you know. And so I had this pineapple, and I'm cutting the pineapple up, and I'm, of course, sneaking bites of the pineapple, you know. I'm cutting up these pears and cantaloupe and all this stuff. And I'm just tasting this stuff, and I'm going, oh, man, this is so good. And it's just the morning. We haven't even gotten to the bird yet, the pecan pie, the dressing, the stuffing, the mashed potatoes, the gravy, none of that. I'm like, this is good. This is going to be a fest. I'm so thankful for that sense of taste, that sense of smell that God has created and that God has designed for my pleasure. That's an awesome thing. God has designed the human body for sexual pleasure as well in His infinite wisdom. The view of the world around us is that if your body is designed for sexual pleasure, then you should not deny yourself any sexual pleasure that you would like to go after. It is sexual pleasure without boundaries. And that's where society seems to always be pushing more and more and more in that direction. The biblical view says this: every pleasure is created by God, who is for the body, who is all for pleasure, but it is created to be used within the context that God has designed. And anything that is a good can be abused and become hurtful in our lives. Anything that is designed by God to be a good in our lives can be abused in a way that is no longer beneficial to our lives or to those around us. I like to put it like this. Fire is good when it's in the fireplace. In the winter, I love to go and to start that fire, and it's cold outside, and you get the fire going, and it's warm, and it's glowing, and it's an awesome thing. And it's great when it's in the fireplace. But if you take that burning log and you throw it in the middle of your living room on the floor, it's not so good anymore. It's out of context, and things get out of control. And that which is good can become an evil at that time. The boundaries that God gives for us in life are boundaries that are designed for our own good. That is true in every area of life, and it's true in the area of our sexuality as well. Our society has ignored the boundaries and is paying a terrible price. Nationwide, at least 45 million people, or one out of five adults, has or has had genital herpes. That is an increase of 30% from 1970 to 1990. STDs are just running rampant in our society. It's always been that way in every society which has given itself over to the pursuit of sexual pleasure without boundaries. There's always these repercussions. The CDC estimates that there are 19 million new STDs infections per year, and half of those are in the age group of 15 to 24. The direct medical costs in the U.S. from STDs is $14.7 billion per year. And so it is. When there are no boundaries, it is not to the benefit of our lives. The question is, will we listen to the wisdom of the Lord or the wisdom of the world? It's fascinating if you follow the abstinence debate in our country. Should we teach abstinence before marriage in our country? And there are so many who vocally say, absolutely not. In fact, one person puts it like this, U.S. Representative Barbara Lee. An abstinence until marriage program is not only irresponsible, it is inhumane. All right. I'm glad I didn't vote for Barbara. Okay. It is inhumane. You say, well, that's just laughable. But many people actually believe that. Because they believe that all things should be permissible. That you should be able to define your own boundaries, your own rules, make it up by your own wisdom or the wisdom of society, and our whole society is getting into trouble because of it. All things are permissible for me, they said in Corinth. Paul said, but not everything is beneficial. All things are permissible for me, they said in Corinth, but I will not be mastered by anything, Paul says. This is what's really intriguing. Addiction is the twisting of God-designed pleasures in our life. Addiction is the misuse of some good that God has created that begins to take over our lives. Addiction happens when a person finds ways of stimulating the pleasure center in their brain in such a way that they become addicted to the feeling of that pleasure. And that which is good, that sense of pleasure in the physical body, becomes something that begins to control our lives. The devil hates true pleasure, meaningful pleasure, beneficial pleasure. So he does all that he can to destroy that and to replace it instead with empty pleasure, pleasure that diminishes us and traps us. In Screwtape Letters, which is basically an indoctrination of the demons of how to tempt humanity, the demon teaches this. He says, our program is an ever-increasing craving for an ever-diminishing pleasure. Isn't that the way that addiction works in people's lives? And so in that attempt to be fulfilled, we begin to be controlled by those things. And being out of control, people's lives get hurt. I can't tell you how many times I have prayed with and counseled with and hurt with people who have come to me because of pain in their life created by choices that they've made in the area of their sexuality. and addictions that they've locked themselves onto in the area of their sexuality. A man came to me years ago and he said, I had the gun, I was going to kill myself this morning, but I couldn't do it. And so I came to the morning Bible study instead. And we were studying in the book of Proverbs about self-control. And when the study was over, he said, I have been cheating on my wife, and I've contracted an STD, and I just learned of it, and I'm afraid that I've given it to my wife. And he said, I can't face it. I can't go on. I can't deal with this in life anymore. How much pain? You know, here's what's amazing about the area of our sexuality. The area of our sexuality is an area that will bring to us the greatest pleasures, the greatest joys, and some of the most meaningful experiences of our life. Not only through the act of sex, but through procreation, through children, through all of this, the marriage relationship, all of this. And that area will also bring us the areas or the types of deepest pains and hurts and disappointments in all of life. It is the power of our sexuality, and that's why it's so compelling. And that's why sex sells just about everything. And that's why our society is fascinated with our sexuality, and we see it everywhere, because it somehow it reaches right to the core of us, to the center of our pleasure and to the center of meaning in our life. And God designed our lives in that way for a reason. It's extremely powerful. Now he says, live within the boundaries that I give you. Live within the guidelines that I give you in your life. But at Corinth, they wanted to experience sexuality without any boundaries. Let me tell you something else about the twisted thinking at Corinth. At Corinth, they reduced sex to nothing more than a physical act. But our sexuality is the blending of body, soul, and spirit in our lives. Let's read on. Take a look at verse 15. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Now, you know, this week I wrote the notes for the sermon on Friday, and I was running kind of late. And so, we missed a day, and the office was closed, and Gretchen wasn't there. So I was in there furiously trying to type my notes, and I'm typing all this out, and I'm going, man, this is intense, because we're going to talk about sex in church, and, you know, I got to get this right. And so I'm typing my notes out, and we printed the thing, and I went out. That night, I went to a movie with Marina, and we're sitting in this movie. It's the Bob Dylan movie. You seen that one? It's new. It just came out. Kind of weird, but, you know. So we're out there sitting in this movie, and all of a sudden I thought, what did I say in those notes? And I was thinking about a certain paragraph. I'm like, now, how did I put that in that paragraph? I think I said something stupid. Now, the last thing you want to do is say something stupid about sex, right? And so I'm like, what exactly did I say in that? And I realized something. Here's the phrase. Here it is. Being mature means getting serious about sex. Sex for the Corinthians was like a game. It was something to engage in for fun, for personal release, for recreation. So sex was everywhere, but no one took it very seriously. Well, I agree with all of that. But after I wrote that and I'm sitting in the theater, I'm going, well, I think sex is fun. And I like release. And I like recreation. I like renewal. I like all those things. All those things are good. And God designed sex to be all of those things. The problem is, if you reduce sex to only those things, then you've truly missed the design of God. So yes, sex is all of those things, but it is so much more than just those things. The problem with strip clubs and pornography isn't that they emphasize sex too much. It's that they reduce sex to less than it truly is. That's the real problem. It is the reduction. That's why I say in the notes, you got to take sex seriously. It's not a game. It's an integral part, the deepest part of who we are is wrapped up with our sexuality. So we have to have a bigger picture than that. So notice what Paul does in the text. He says in verse 15, don't you know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Don't you know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. And he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. You see what Paul does? He's making a connection between body, soul, spirit, relationship, our relationship with God, our relationships with others. All of these things, he's blending all of those factors together. And so sex is more than a physical act. It is a physical, emotional, spiritual act in our life. That's the biblical viewpoint. But at Corinth, they said, no way. Sex is just about fun, just about pleasure. It's just about release. Just go to the party, have sex. You feel better? That's it. That's so much what our society believes. That's why it's called recreational sex. But what's the biblical view? He ties it back to the teaching in Genesis about marriage, where God says the two shall become one. So let's go back there for a minute. Genesis chapter 2. In the creation of mankind, God created them male and female. And it tells us in verse 22 that then the Lord God made woman from the rib that he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. And the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. As you read this passage, you find out that God blends some things together. He blends together the physical act of sex. They're naked. They're without shame. They leave and they cleave one to another, leave their parents and cleave one to another. It is the physical act of sex. But we find also that there is an emotional and a spiritual connection that there is here designed by God. In verse 23, the man says, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. Completely emotionally involved in this relationship. And the man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. They will become one flesh. There is a relational commitment that goes along with the physical act and the joining of these two lives. It is a physical, emotional, spiritual committed relationship, and the implication in Corinthians is that any time that two people come together in a physical act, that all of those things are being blended together, and that should only happen in the context of a committed marital relationship. So what happens is when sex happens outside of that committed marital relationship, it diminishes the true meaning and the true value of sexual relations and of our sexuality. And that's when people begin to get hurt in their life and in their experience together. These three things are ever connected in the Bible. physical intimacy and pleasure, emotional bonding, and personal commitment. And everybody gets that, pretty much, in our society. Everybody understands that those things go together. That's why even people who are living together and having sexual relations together, if they go out and they have sex with someone else, they call it cheating. Because they understand that there's an implied commitment that goes together with the physical union. There's an implied commitment there. There's a joining of hearts there. Those three things ever go together in the Bible. That's why God says, flee immorality. Let's read on. 1 Corinthians, verse 18. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own, but you were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. The Corinthians wanted Jesus to be the Lord of their hearts and minds and spirits, but not of their physical bodies. They drew a line. They said, well, Jesus is Lord, but not of my physical body. I can do whatever I want with my physical body, and it just doesn't matter. But that was not true. That was a lie. Jesus needs to be Lord of our whole person, body, soul, and spirit. The lordship of Jesus needs to extend to all of those areas. And so the Bible says to flee from sexual immorality. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so everything you do with your physical body is either an act of serving the Lord or of serving self or serving the enemy. Every single thing that we do with our physical body. So we need to think it through. What are the choices that you are making in your life? What are the behaviors that you're engaging in with your physical body? What is it saying about your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible says in verse 19, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Paul wants the Corinthians to know that they belong to Jesus Christ. They were purchased at Calvary for Jesus Christ. Their bodies belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you need to glorify the Lord with your physical body. So here's what I want to do. I want to give you some practical advice for your life as a believer in Jesus Christ. And here's how it goes. Number one is this. I want you to believe God's word more than the wisdom of the world around you. Believe God's word. Everywhere you will be given messages about your sexuality. Everywhere. TV, movies, media, everywhere. You're given messages about your sexuality. It is the wisdom of the world that is presented to us at all times. And I want you to believe the wisdom of God's word more than the wisdom of the world. God says that sexual relations are to be experienced within the context of the marriage covenant. That's the design of God. That's the word of God. That's the wisdom of God. It is for your good and it is for God's glory. I want you to believe that in your life. Take your stand on the word of God. Secondly, I want you to accept God's boundaries and establish personal sexual boundaries and live within them. That means that if you are a single person, it means that you do not engage in sexual relations outside of marriage. You have to establish a line that you will not cross. You have to believe God's wisdom and say, I will not cross that line. Where is that line? Well, that's a tough one, isn't it? Where is that line? A friend of mine says it's pretty simple. He says, keep your clothes on, and if you can't see it, don't touch it. That's a good one. There's so many ways for us to reinterpret God's intention. The climax of sex, the orgasm, is designed for marriage. That's the climactic experience. You cannot say, well, we're not really having sex because, as Bill Clinton said, it doesn't work. Well, it's really not sex. Because it's not vaginal penetration, it's not sex. No, that's not where the line is. Foreplay and sexuality is always designed to lead to the sex act, and so you have to draw the line. You have to draw the line way back there and say, what am I really doing here? What is the purpose of this physical relationship? Where is this going? And you have to draw a line. You have to set a boundary. And by the grace of God, you have to say, I'm going to stay with this. Because it is for my good and the good of my partner or my friend or this person, and it is for God's glory. I want you to do that. If you're married, we'll talk more about this next week. I want you to draw strong boundaries in your life. Strong boundaries in your relationships with the opposite sex. We'll go into this more next week, but you need to. You need to have strong boundaries. You need to protect that marriage relationship. You need to protect that marriage covenant. You need to get free from pornography in your life. If you're using pornography, you need to be free from it. You need to say no to this. You need to say, it's not okay for me to do this. Oh, you say, but all things are permissible for me. Well, not everything's beneficial. Well, all things are permissible for me, but I won't be mastered by anything. It's all about being addicted to a feeling. It's all about experiencing sexuality in only one dimension. That mental, physical thing versus a relationship as God intended. It's all about finding an easy way to come to that gratification rather than the way that God has designed in marriage. And what happens is the enemy just comes in and substitutes a good and a meaningful pleasure with an empty pleasure that begins to devalue our lives and to trap us. You need to get free from that. Guys, I recommend that every guy has on his computer an accountability program. I use one called Covenant Eyes. You can go on the web, just Covenant Eyes. Google the thing, and you'll find it. And it's very simple. This is the way it works. Every place that you visit on the internet gets sent to your accountability partner. Just a record of it, just gets sent to them. So it's, you know, and then they kind of rank the sites and stuff, and it's somewhat irritating because sometimes, you know, you visit, you know, anything, Craigslist, you know, looking for a guitar or something, it gets sent to your partner as, you know, this could be objectionable, and I'm like, that's irritating to me. But it's well worth it. It's well worth it. It's like having someone just there with you, just looking over your shoulder, you know? And it's that accountability that changes behavior because it brings it out of the secret world. Every guy should have that. You need to draw some lines in your life. Get free from pornography. Cultivate all the dimensions of sex within marriage, within your marriage. We're going to talk about this more next week. Okay? You need to be fully engaged as a married couple, emotionally, spiritually, physically, in commitment. You need to be fully engaged in all of these areas that you can experience the richness that God has for you in that. And finally, you need to live for the Lord and not for sexual fulfillment. Live for the Lord. Glorify God in your body. Now, the Lord is for the body, but the body is for the Lord. You need to live for the Lord. As we get into chapter 7, you'll find out. You'll say, well, what are you saying? You know, I'm a single person, so what do you expect me to do? Well, what I expect you to do is get your life together. And if you desire to be married and if you desire to experience sexual fulfillment in your life, then you need to get married. Okay?
Well, I don't want to get married. I have a career to follow. Blah, 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 blah. I can put it off.
No. Follow God's design. Follow God's pattern. Get your life together. Get married. Find fulfillment with them. Well, I have my life together already. Well, good. Then get married. Well, but I have been in a relationship that didn't work out. I have been married, and maybe I'm divorced now. I know, life is hard. There's so many reasons for people to say God's rules don't apply to me. The people who have been divorced, people who have been through hard times, say, I don't want to get married again. I don't want to go into a relationship again. I'm afraid of that. And so these things don't apply to me in my life. It's not true. I want you to live your life for the Lord, and not just for any kind of personal fulfillment. If you seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, all these other things will be added unto you. I want you to trust the Lord for that in your life. Put the Lord first in your life. You say, well, I tried that. Well, try it again. Keep working at that thing and see what the Lord does in your life. I want you to know that the Lord wants to bless your life. He wants to make you whole. He wants to bring fulfillment into your life in His time and in His way. And it's all part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every bit of it. And so today, no matter what you've experienced in your life, today is the day to put the Lord first. If you have been or are involved in choices and behaviors in your life which are not honoring to the Lord, which are not beneficial to you or to those around you, in which you've been controlled by those things in your life, today is the day to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I believe in the grace of Jesus Christ. Forgive me, cleanse me, and now make me new, Lord, in my life. And believe that the Lord will do that in your life. Begin to follow the Lord, walk in His ways, and see what God will do in your life. And as we do that, as we become a people who are free, truly free, within God's guidelines and God's boundaries, and we begin to live out the reality of who God has created us to be, that's when the Christian community becomes whole and healthy, and we become a light to the world around us. And that's what we want to see in and through our lives. Let's take a minute and pray about all those things. Father in heaven, I want to come to you, Lord, and just ask for your grace to be poured upon us, Lord. Lord, it's so easy for us to adopt the viewpoint of the world around us, because not only is it the easier thing to do, but it's the thing we want to do a lot of times, Lord, because we too know what it is to have to be driven by just pleasure in our life, to want to fulfill those drives, Lord, to have things get out of control. Lord, I'm so thankful for your grace and your mercy that can give us a new beginning, Lord. And I pray that you'll do that, Lord, this morning. Touch our lives, Lord. Lord, we pray that we might glorify you with our physical bodies, with the choices that we make, Lord, with our behaviors, with our relationships, Lord. And so, Lord, come and touch right now. Would you take a minute right now, just as your head is bowed, and just in your own life, just take a little survey. You might think about, you know, first of all, have you really agreed with God and believed in His wisdom? I want you to think for a minute about your life and think, is there an area where you need to establish a boundary in your life? Ask the Lord right now to show you what that might be and make a decision to follow that. Would you make a commitment right now to live for the Lord first and foremost? Not elevating any personal need or drive or desire or pleasure above the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, help us just to walk with you, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.